I'd like to welcome everyone to City Hall for this regular City Commission meeting. I'd like to ask everyone to please stand for a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, at this time, I'd like to recognize any veterans that we have with us today. If you are a veteran or active service personnel, or if you have a member of your family currently serving in the military, I'd like you to please stand at this time so we can recognize you. Thank you very much. And will the clerk please call the roll?
Vice Mayor Asap.
Here.
Commissioner Furr.
Here.
Commissioner O'Sheehan.
Here.
Commissioner Blattner.
Here.
Commissioner Russo?
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood?
Here.
Mayor Bober?
Here. All right, we're going to quickly go to our consent agenda. Is there anything on the consent agenda that any member of the commission would like to pull?
I would.
14, please.
Number 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, item 14 was pulled by Commissioner Furr. Commissioner Asef, you'd like number 10. Okay, anyone else besides 10 and 14?
Move the balance of the agenda.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the remainder of the consent agenda. I don't see any further discussion on the motion, so all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, that carries unanimously. I did want to point out that Mason Jackson from Workforce One is here. I want to thank you for being here for the item. We didn't have any questions on it, but we do appreciate you taking the time. Okay, before we go to our consent agenda items, numbers 10 and 14, we're going to go on to some proclamations, presentations, and awards. Item number 21, I have issued a proclamation in recognition of Monroe Udell Day, and I'd like to ask Monroe and his team to come forward if they would. So I'll read the proclamation. Good morning. Before I read the proclamation, I do want to say, as my colleagues know, I am very stingy when it comes to issuing proclamations, creating a day in recognition of someone, but I'm very happy to have gotten a chance to know you over the years, Mr. Udell, and watch you work in the community, not only our community, Dania, South Florida. You've done so much good for South Florida and have provided so many memories for many generations of South Floridians and tourists from wherever they come from all over the world. I'm very happy to issue this proclamation for Monroe Udell Day, January 4th, 2012. Whereas Monroe Udell was born in Connecticut in 1928 and moved with his family to Hollywood, Florida soon after World War II, and whereas at the age of 28, Mr. Udell established Jackson's Ice Cream Parlor and Restaurant just north of Sterling Road on Federal Highway with a mission to produce and serve the finest food and ice cream, and whereas on opening day in 1956, Jackson's included an open kitchen with curved formica counters and offered a rare curiosity, ice cream made daily on the premises. And whereas Mr. Udell generated excitement by routinely ignoring laws enforcing segregation in both hiring and service at Jackson's prior to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and whereas Mr. Udell expanded Jackson's dining area in the 1960s and began displaying the immense license plate and antique collection seen to this day, and whereas through the hard work and dedication of Monroe Udell, Jackson's Ice Cream Parlor and Restaurant has become a favorite eatery among residents and tourists and is known worldwide. And whereas Jackson's has been featured on TV shows such as Unwrapped, ABC's Good Morning America, the Food Network's Top 5, Top Cool Quencher, and Outrageous Food, Bon Appetit, and Southern Living magazines, as well as local press. And whereas Mr. Udell holds an annual fundraising event for Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital and celebrated Jackson's 55th anniversary by holding a block party on November 5th, 2011, which benefited the Children's Hospital. And whereas Mr. Udell generously donates and serves Jackson Ice Cream in support of many causes benefiting all the residents of South Florida, now therefore I, Peter Bobers, the mayor of Hollywood, Florida, and the City Commission of Hollywood hereby proclaim January 4th, 2012 as Monroe Udell Day in Hollywood and commend him for his many years of consistently serving the residents of his community as well as being a catalyst for tourism in South Florida. And I sign this proclamation on December 16th. Congratulations, Mr. Udell.
Thank you. Thank you for recognizing me with this great honor. It's been a privilege to be part of the community for 65 years, bringing joy and happiness to so many, and long truly and privileged. I contribute to Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital and helping out children in need. It's the most important cause I've Okay, thank you very much, and the mayor and all commissioners.
Thank you. Well,
can we go down and shake his
yes, I think that'd be a very nice idea. I just didn't want to make him have to walk the gauntlet. Well, you know, as we were coming up here, Commissioner O'Sheehan said to me, can we all tell our Jackson story? And I think that what she said was very apropos because having grown up as a kid in Hollywood and so many great memories. When I was a kid going to Jackson's, that room, it seemed like the biggest room in the world. The ceiling seemed so high with all this incredible stuff. It was the eye candy in that place. It's just absolutely fantastic. And now to go with my own kids, I know you sometimes see us over at the restaurant to bring them the memories that I have had as a child. It's absolutely fantastic. And I really do appreciate a few months ago when we celebrated Veterans Day here in the city of Hollywood, Jackson's. It was a great, great event. Jackson's just came out of nowhere, stepped up. I got an email from Jerry over at the restaurant volunteering, and they served ice cream at the event. They didn't look for any recognition. They didn't looking to get into the newspaper. They just did it because they wanted to support a very good cause, and I know that you do things like that all the time. So I'm very grateful for all the contributions that you've made, all the great memories that you've made for people's families all over the world. And I do want to just point out that when Jerry from the restaurant had called and said, you know, we'd like to serve ice cream at the event, I spoke to the city manager and I said, you know, oh, ice cream in the Chambers, so unorthodox. And she was like, if there's not a better time to do it than this, I couldn't imagine it, and she couldn't imagine either. So I do appreciate the staff's help with putting this event together, and we're really grateful to you. And would any of my colleagues like to echo any of my sentiments or say anything? Commissioner Sherwood?
You can see the two old ladies over here with the ice cream. The biggest fun was the kitchen sink and the entire family going over and everybody digging into their end of the ice cream and fighting over what was in the middle. So thank you. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience.
I just thought it struck me when the mayor was reading the proclamation and he said how everyone has a memory of Jackson's, and I thought that's so true. When I was pregnant with my first child, he refused to come. So I was walking, they say that induces labor. And of course all that walking made me hungry for ice cream. So I actually came to Jackson's, had that huge giant milkshake, and went into labor the next morning. So we always associate Jackson's with the birth of our firstborn son. So it's a wonderful memory in our family. And I know everyone probably has a similar story to tell. It's just a wonderful institution, and thank you.
Anyone else on the commission whose mouths are not full of ice cream? Well, Monroe, would you like to introduce who you have with you today?
That's my daughter, Linda, and my son-in-law, Scott.
Thank you very much for coming down. And we've got Jerry in the back, the general manager over at Jackson's. And who do you have with you from the restaurant today? Well, we really appreciate your coming and serving ice cream to the public here, and we really wish you all the best of luck, and I hope you stay in great health, and I hope to know you for many, many more days to come, and we really appreciate your being here today. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
Is it too late to We're going to go
to item number, you know, that really is a good idea. I'll just let, the best idea is probably just to excuse yourself. If you start seeing a mass exodus of members of the commission, it's not because we've had enough. It's because we're going to go out and get ice cream while the meeting is going on. We have a presentation, item number 22 by Matt Lala. I'll call you forward. Nice to see you, Matt. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I have for you a Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting awarded by the Government Finance Officers Association for the city's fiscal year 2010 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. This represents the 36th year in a row the city has received this award. I'd like to ask the staff of the city's General Accounting Division to stand up and be recognized. They're the ones who really ensure that the city receives this on a continual basis, and it is their fine work that has led to the city receiving this award. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Matt. Congratulations to you and your staff, and we appreciate them being here today. Okay, that was our last presentation, so we'll go to our consent agenda items, and we have item number 10 that was pulled by the Vice Mayor.
I pulled number 10 because I've talked to a couple of people who have used this retrofit toilet rebate program and used these toilets that we have, and I don't know who would be in charge of this, but has anybody checked on how they like the toilets they got from this program? Has anybody checked on it?
Steve Joseph is going to come up.
Okay.
Steve Joseph, Deputy Director. Commissioner, the way I understand the program to work is that the person go to a store and select the toilet of their choice, and we give them a rebate to kind of make up the difference in the cost of the toilet. So if toilet costs, I don't know, $150, and you know, they'll come to us, we give them a rebate of say $100, then all they have to take out of their pockets is $50. So we don't select the toilets for them. You know, as long as it's a water saving device, then that fits the profile.
Right. Well, the reason I said that is because some of these toilets that they do get, even at Home Depot, there's not much you can get for really a good toilet for $100, $150, that they've had to, like, flush them, like, two times and what have you. And I just wondered if some of the things that we should implement or let them know about is that there are water-saving things that they can buy these kits. They're like $3.50 for dual flush for your toilets and what have you. So I just want to, you know, because we're putting like $50,000 aside for this. And the other thing, I've had a couple of the people that did buy them, they went and bought their toilets first. And you have to go for your rebate first before you can go buy the toilet. So I think people need to know that going in, because then afterwards they came back to us and said, you know, we'd like our rebate. Well, you have to come to us first. And most people don't really know that. I don't know how we could get that message out.
Well, we have the information on the website, and we try our best at community events to notify the general public of the program and give them all the specifics on the program. So we'll do some further outreach. We'll you know, take the opportunity to try to reach out further to the community to present that part of the information.
Because water is such a commodity for us, but there's so many great things that are at like Home Depot that are inexpensive, like the shower heads for $14.50 that save water. Now they're only using 1.5 gallons. For the dual flush thing is $3.50 for the kit. So, you know, I'd like to get some of those things out there because so many people are calling us about their water bills.
Yes. Okay. You know,
so if we could do that informational and just whatever you can get so they could at least try to save one way or the other, because we can't change the cost of what we're charging them, but we can certainly implement.
We'll do. I'll look into it and I'll get.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Would you like to move it?
I make a motion to approve that.
We've got a motion and a second by Commissioner Sheehan. Commissioner Sherwood, did you want to chime in on item 10?
Mr. Joseph, I do have a question. I'm constantly asked why we can't have this available for condominiums. When we did the last rebate, condos were not
The included. Challenge we have is the amount of resources that's available. You can imagine condos, you know, some of the bigger units in the city, and they may overwhelm, you know, the resources we have. So we started off with just the single family homes, you know, and probably ultimately if that there's no kind of feedback or demand from that side, we may ultimately look at condos. But for now, you know, with the amount of money we have, we're starting with single family homes.
And we're still doing the shower head exchange.
Yes, we still have the shower head program.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Blattner.
Yes, just a clarification. The reason that doesn't work for condos is because part of the program is that we will pick up your old toilet and haul it away. You can't do that in a condo. So that's the primary reason why condos were excluded.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve item number 10. I don't see any further discussion on the item, so all those in favor of 10 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? It carries unanimously. The only other consent item that was pulled was item number 14, which was pulled by Commissioner Ferg. Commissioner?
Thank you, Mayor. This has to do with paying for the spillage of the Taft Street when the sewer line broke. And it says that it's going to be paid through the self-insured fund. My question is why this isn't paid through the water and sewer utility fund. It would seem that this would be something that would be, this is a main pipe that's used by all of the cities. It comes all the way through. Why isn't that tagged on to or through the enterprise fund, paid through the enterprise fund instead of through the self-insured fund, which it seems like I think we'd be more responsible for?
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Lisa Poe, Assistant Director of Human Resources and Risk Management. We put it through the self-insurance fund because we're going to file a claim against the contractor that was doing the work at the time.
Okay.
All of those claim dollars will be funneled through that, and then we hope to get reimbursed, and our city attorney's office is prepared to take it further if we need to get the reimbursement that we're due.
Well, I thought that might be the case, but I still wonder why we don't pay for it directly from the utility fund first. What, for instance, what if we don't get the claim? Then we are out from the self-insured fund, where I would rather it be a responsibility of the entire large users fund.
Well, the large users have a budget, and there's a line item there that says general liability, you know, a certain dollar amount. And it's their understanding that they've purchased liability insurance. So, because that's a part of our general liability for the whole city.
I don't get that.
Commissioner, I appreciate your question. We had that issue discussed internally as well.
Okay.
And because each department contributes to the self-insurance fund, water and sewer has already been charged. And so what we're looking at is later evaluating proportionate expenditures moving forward for how much should each department pay into based on the potential liability that comes with them. We're confident that our city attorney will collect from those that caused the incident.
Okay.
But we're also looking moving forward at how to better allocate that self-insurance fund.
I guess on a side note, if something like this happens with regard to responsibility being for all seven cities, I mean, I look at this as part of that whole system, and that when you have a break like this, it's part of the whole system's break, that it would come out of that whole batch of money. Why doesn't it just...
And as Lisa was explaining, they do pay, all of those large users do pay into a liability piece okay. of the budget, and obviously that will be called on as a part of it, but it will not meet all of the obligation.
So the amount that is put forth toward liability is less than this amount? Because this is, even though this is a...
Well, this is...
I'm just wondering because this is...
This is one piece right. of the cost of the Taft sewer spill. We knew instantly we needed to correct it.
Right.
And then figure out how to pay for it.
So there's other costs that are being...
There are other costs that are going to be coming forward.
And are they coming out of the water and sewer utility, or are they also coming out of the self-insured fund?
The ones pertaining to the sewer break are coming from the self-insurance fund. Anything to do with repairing anything to do with the pipe, you know, the way we stand now, that would be from the utilities account.
So the idea of the sleeve and solidifying that pipe to prevent
right.
further breakage absolutely is coming from water and sewer.
Okay. I guess to me it should all come from it. I don't see why it wouldn't all come from it. But you guys have already run this through.
Well, as the risk manager has asserted, because the water and sewer utility fund, which is funded by the large users as well as city ratepayers, pays essentially for insurance against these kinds of accidents
right.
by contributing into the self-insurance fund.
I didn't get that connection.
Yeah. bought insurance, Sorry. And now the insurance is making a payment.
Sorry, I didn't get that connection. Now but I do.
Hopefully we'll be 100% reimbursed.
Okay, good. Okay. That makes sense then. Okay, thank you very much. Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second by Commissioner O'Sheehan to approve the item. All those in favor of the item, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, that carries unanimously. Okay, we've got just a few more things on our agenda. This is actually a fairly short agenda today. We are going to go to our 1:30? Are we a little bit shy? Okay, perfect. How shy are we? 1 minute?
Is it time for that coffee break?
Our yes.
Just tell one of your jokes.
Okay, let's see. Well, let me go to item number 24 because I don't consider that to be too controversial an item. This is PO 2012-01. This is an ordinance on first reading. I think it's fairly self-explanatory. If any would, I'd like to find out if anyone would like to speak on it or if someone would like to make a motion on item
approved.
24.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve item number 24. I'm speaking slowly. It's deliberate. I don't see any further discussion on the motion, so I'm going to call on the clerk to read the ordinance and take the vote.
An ordinance of the City of Hollywood, Florida, amending Section 37.01 of the Code of Ordinances by creating the Department of Public Works and changing the name of the Department of Community Development. Vice Mayor Asif?
Yes.
Commissioner Furr?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Sheehan?
Yes.
Commissioner Blattner?
Yes.
Commissioner Russo?
Aye.
Commissioner Sherwood?
Yes.
Mayor Bober?
Aye. All right, that passes unanimously. We're a few seconds shy of our final item on the agenda.
We can do it now. It's okay. 1:30.
Okay, great. It was different up on the screen. Okay, let me call on who would like to let me call on Clay Mylan. Hi, Clay. Happy New Year.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Happy New Year to you also. I'm Clay Mylan, Interim Director of Community Development. In order to promote positive communications with neighborhood civic associations, each association is being given the opportunity to make a state of the association presentation at a city commission meeting, and we're doing those on a quarterly basis, and we're giving each association the opportunity. You might recall that in October of last year, Hollywood Council of Civic Associations kicked the process off with the first presentation. And so today we have a presentation from Hollywood Lakes Civic Association. And so I will introduce to you Terry Cantrell, the president of Hollywood Lakes Civic Association, for his presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Clay. Mayor, City Commission, City Staff, Terry Cantrell, President of the Hollywood Lakes Civic Association. I'd like to thank you very much for this opportunity. This is quite an honor and something that we very much appreciate in all the civic associations, and we're very honored and pleased to be here today to do that. I have with me a handful of our directors. It is a work day, so you folks raise your hand and let us see who we are. I have Lynn and Mark and Tiffany and my Vice President Michael Suter here too. So. We have a slideshow. This is my gizmo here, and we'll go ahead and get going on it. First off, we're very, very proud to announce our rebranding effort, and you can see we have changed our logo, and we have dropped the word section from our moniker. That really only pertained to, this Broward County plat book shows just a narrow swath of our neighborhood that actually had the section in the titles of the properties, so we decided that really wasn't all-encompassing, so we decided to drop that, and I'm quite frankly glad that we did. So our logo is was designed by a local Lakes resident and member, Scott Miller, who most of you probably know. There we go. Our history, of course, we feel that we are probably, if not the oldest, one of the oldest civic associations in Hollywood, if not all of Broward County, formed in 1961 by Herbert Freeling, a North Lake resident and attorney. We've expanded early on to include the entire area of East Hollywood from Federal to the Intracoastal Sheraton to Moffett Street. We have various committees, obviously they're formed to handle and deal with various items and various issues that we run into in the neighborhood. Our accomplishments are many and varied, and we could be here for half an hour just talking about that, but some of the more significant ones, of course, we 1980 when Ben Tobin wanted to put condominiums on Hollywood Lakes on the Hollywood Beach Golf Course, of course, that caused quite an uproar. We were able to convince the city to put a referendum out and spend $10 million to buy that property. It is now protected in perpetuity as open space, green space, recreational, and that actually led to the protection of the other two city-owned golf courses, too, in perpetuity. So very, very proud of that. We're very proud of what we did with the CRA rollback. Those of you that were around in the early 90s remember that the CRA actually was to extend all the way east to 14th Avenue. Made a lot of people unhappy in the Lakes neighborhood because we have this beautiful neighborhood and we're slum and blighted. Didn't make any sense. So thanks to the good work of the folks back on the board in the mid-90s, we were able to roll that back to 17th Avenue. Albertson's property is another item that we're very proud of, forcing the county to purchase that property on that park bonds effort too. So constantly dealing with the water treatment plant. Things have quieted down there quite frankly over the years as we've gotten through the different processes there that they use. Of course, we've worked very closely with Chuck Ellis, by the way, who I think one of his very first acts here at the city was to help us get the GOB project finished at Jefferson Park. We're extremely proud of that effort there too. Code enforcement, we happen to be one of the first neighborhoods to implement the VICE program, the Volunteers and Code Enforcement Program. Extremely proud about that. We're still operating under the 2003 redistricting map that was chosen. It happened to be the HLSCA's map, the one that our redistricting group put together. And I know we're going to tweak that around a little bit, but it's still basically going to be that map, I'm sure. We support, of course, Sailor's Point on North Lake and that sailing program as well. Of course, one of our biggest accomplishments, and I'm sure you're all very familiar with it, I hope, is our Lakes newsletter. Very, very proud of that. We publish four times a year. We try to make it as informative as possible, as advertiser supported. It's not supposed to make any money, and it usually doesn't, which is good. We're very, very, very proud of that too. And I just brought some new ones out there too. Of course, the Home of the Month program was started by the city back in 2002, I believe. And I think back then, quite a few of the neighborhood associations participated in the Home of the Month program. It fell off, unfortunately, over the years. Never for us. We maintained the program all the way through, and every single month since 2002, when that program was started by the city, we have a Home of the Month, and I list them on the website. And we're still going at it. Matter of fact, we even expanded that to include what we call the Neighborhood Award, the Good Neighbor Award. And the Good Neighbor Award is given out quarterly each year to hotel, motels, apartments, and other commercial structures. We don't have a lot of commercial structures in the neighborhood, but that have done things to improve their property. Matter of fact, the first quarter, I'm very proud to announce that the first quarter of this year, the Good Neighbor Award goes to the police and fire substation on South Federal Highway. And we're going to even have a meeting there later this year, too. So at this point, I'd like to bring up just to talk a little bit about our group. We are a not-for-profit, of course, with a full board. We have monthly meetings every month except July and August. We conduct board meetings every month as well. Some of our extra activities include town hall meetings, debates. We'll probably have another candidates forum later this year for some of you folks that are running again. And of course, our socials are somewhat legendary. A lot of you have attended the picnics and the holiday social at the Art and Culture Center as well, and we thank you for that attendance. I'd like to ask Michael Suter, our vice president, to come up and help me conclude the presentation. Of course, we're very big on the Great Neighborhood Challenge, which is our kickoff meeting is next week at our general meeting, too. Michael?
Slide here. Yeah. Mayor, Commissioner. In closing out the presentation, short presentation here, some things to mention about the future. Continuing, of course, to work with the city on vital interests that affect us all, flooding, crime, federal highway cleanup. I would add that we have several directors that are actively involved in the New Image Task Force, as well as the Commissioner ASAP's Blight Busters Committee as well that we've done fundraising with. So we feel that that's important. We continue working closely with other neighboring civic associations, such as the North Beach. I believe we're scheduled to do a joint debate-style forum later in this year to coincide with the elections upcoming. Continue our involvement in the HCCA, which I would point out that our first president, Herb Freeling, was instrumental in founding in the late 60s. And I guess another important point to mention with regard to encouraging new and younger Lakes residents to join the association. We're realizing the demographics are changing in the city as well as in District 1 and in the Lakes. And we're holding focus groups as well to achieve newer membership and really gauge the pulse of what's happening in the city and to be able to telegraph that back to the commission and the city. So. And of course, to continue to promote the neighborhood in any way we can. And then, whoops, where's our last slide? In closing, just like to briefly restate our mission. The primary objective of the Hollywood Lakes Civic Association is to improve and promote civic, cultural, and recreational interest in the Lakes section of Hollywood, our great city. So that concludes our presentation, and we're, of course, here available for questions.
Thank you very much, Michael. Yes, I'd also like to, I failed to mention that Charlotte Greenberg is here. Charlotte is one of our earlier directors, past directors too. So thank you, Michael. Yeah, and again, in closing, we understand that it's difficult for you folks to be everywhere, all the different civic groups and all your different districts. And, you know, some of us aren't necessarily very fond of the districting concept because it sort of makes that situation happen. But you know that you're always invited to our meetings and our socials anytime. And even though we may not be able to vote for you over there, you can definitely raise money over there. So please feel free to standing invitation to any one of our meetings or social functions. So.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say one thing, and then I'll. I see Vice Mayor Asaf also wants to say. First off, I've enjoyed getting to know the board over the last couple years, more than a couple years, of course. But one of the things that I think has really made your association really stand out among different organizations is not just the membership; it's really how you get the membership. One of the things I really don't see enough civic associations doing in the city is creating social events. Most of the civic association meetings that I go to are really boring. They're boring because there's just, I mean, people are busy. It takes some time. It takes time to an imagination to, like, what are we going to do at this meeting? Is it just going to be some boring guest speaker? But I think that you guys really try to create social events throughout the year so that people, when they come to the association meetings, you know, they're not, like, dealing with a room full of total strangers. I mean, they may be living in the same neighborhood, but a lot of people don't know people who live on the same block as them. That's just reality these days. So I think the different events that you've invited me to that I've gone to over the years, I mean, you could just see that there's people feel like the people in the association are really friends, and that makes the difference. And that's why you get the big turnouts, and that's why I think your newsletter is successful. So I just want to wish you a continued success and the creativity that you put into these great events that you do throughout the year, which feeds right into your membership and making the association very successful. Thank you. And Happy New Year. Vice Mayor?
Well, you really said it so well. And I mean, I think all of us that live in the Lakes are very, very proud of the association. And one thing that you've really done is that not only you've brought the people out, but we've become friends and we are neighbors, you know? And we've lost that so much everywhere we go in this day and age where everybody's working and doing things. But people really do make an effort to come to the Lakes meetings, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And we've even had some youth come now, so I think that is a wonderful part of it. But you've made it not boring, and the social events are great. You know, in fact, no one ever asked me to go to anybody else's homeowner association, so I don't even know if they do have social events. So I think it's great that you spread the word. And you know what? That's what's good about coming out here, is that you learn from one group to another, one homeowner association. And they could take heed, and maybe we need to do more reciprocation and learn how, because you people are very, very important. You make the city. And that's why I'm so happy to have you come out, because you don't get acknowledged for all the work that you actually put into it.
Well, this was your idea too, and I'd like to thank you, Vice Mayor. This was your idea, if I'm not mistaken. I think.
But the people behind the scenes and writing that newspaper, right. And I see you writing me little emails. Get that article. You know, and I mean, this stuff takes time.
Yes.
You know, but that is pure dedication and love of city, yes, to do something like that. And fortunately, you know what, I do go back to Herb Freeling, because his wife Carol and I worked together for many years at Coldwell Banker and at Jalmark when we were all together. And she still lives in Westlake Village, and her son does too. She was a great neighbor, great statue on North Lake, and a lot of history there, you know. And I think you should push to get us a sign to make an us in the historic district.
I would love that.
We've been talking about it.
You're talking to the right guy, because as the chair this year of the Preservation Board, you don't think I would like to do that? I'd love to see that happen. So I support that 100%.
And I think that would be such a great asset. And when we win this Great Neighborhoods Award,
yes,
might have to donate a few bucks towards that. So, and I appreciate all that work that you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Really are going to win, you know. So
well,
I have to speak up for my own association.
Thank you. Our meeting next Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the beach is our official kickoff for our neighborhood, our NAC. So we're hopefully, again, everybody please come.
And Bethel is allowed to be part of this.
I just wanted
you to know that's a step in the right direction. But let me ask you something. On that logo, where did you say you got that from?
Scott Miller designed that for us.
Oh, because you know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
Like, it reminds me of old Florida with the awnings.
Yeah, possibly so. It's supposed to be a palm frond, obviously.
Really? But
yeah.
It doesn't, you know? I mean, if you go to Palm Beach or whatever, that awning kind of look, it kind of gives you that little bit of a nostalgia.
We were really going for simplicity and, you know, something
very
new.
Creative.
You know, if you think about, like, the Nike swoosh and all that stuff, you know, kind of iconic looking.
You're working the deal. I love it.
Brian,
hold on.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Hold on, Terry. Commissioner Sherwood would also like to heap praise upon you.
Oh, please. I would love that.
Yes, your meeting gets as much as 80 people or more.
Yeah.
And I think you do a wonderful job. And I'm very, very proud of you.
Thank you.
I just want to be able to recognize one of my presidents over here from Lawn Acres.
Yes.
Who has been taking example from you, and they've had ice cream socials, and they're cruising through Lawn Acres, and she attends every commission meeting to see how well we're doing.
Jean is doing a wonderful job with Lawn Acres, and we work closely with the ACCA with Jean.
You've got somebody really working hard to beat you for the neighborhood challenge.
Okay. I'm sure.
Congratulations for all that you've done, and your board works tremendously, and I thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, can I just
ask? Yes, of course.
Terry,
go ahead.
Terry, how many members do you have in the Lake Association?
Oh, hundreds and hundreds. You know, of course, we re-up in January, so I don't, you know, we're just starting with the membership push. By the way, you will be getting your your dues notice.
Dues notice. I don't mind. Send your money.
Well, thank
but
you.
But I think that's important so that we get these other neighborhoods to get their memberships up. You need to have a membership drive and get the people coming.
Everybody that receives our newsletter thinks that they're a member of our group, which is kind of funny sometimes. So it's kind of
$20? They could all
Yeah, exactly. But I'm a member. I get your newsletter. Well, we mail it to everybody in the neighborhood, so it's kind of a...
Well, thank you very much for being here today, and thank you for the presentation and all the other board members who are here. Thank you. Excellent. All right, that actually finishes up all the business that we have to do today. Now it's just comments by the commission manager and attorney. So let me call on Commissioner O'Sheehan first.
Nothing today. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. We may get out of here by 2 o'clock. Commissioner Blattner.
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Oh, please don't tell me you're going to make an hour-long speech.
All right, let the man talk. Let the man talk.
Couple of things. I would like to ask if at either the next meeting in January or the first meeting in February we get an update on the status of JCI negotiations.
About what?
JCI. Driving around the city recently, I noticed that many of the neighborhood monument signs have gotten very shabby. They need fresh paint or cleaning up in some way. That it's faded. These are not new. They're probably, 8 or 10 years old? And yesterday I was telling Fran at 72nd and Taft, just south of Taft on 72nd, there's a monument sign for driftwood, and all four panels are off of it. So it's just a piece of concrete sticking up. So I would like to ask the appropriate Public Works probably to clean up that area. Also, Pat, did you distribute this? The city clerk is going to distribute a resolution from Broward County that I'd like to see if the commission supports. We have had some presentations recently, one from Albert Perez and one from Dr. Nancy Gassman just recently on climate change. And the focus of those presentations really was to get us thinking about the fact that because of water shortages and we're not capable of storing all the water we get, the rainwater we get, and climate change eventually causing relocation of utilities, that the county commission is asking that cities support a resolution to allow the Broward County Water Resource Task Force, which both the mayor and I are on, the mayor representing the city, I represent the League of Cities, to begin investigating governance models that allow all 31 cities plus the county to work together to create a governance model that addresses these things. This would only be a recommendation. The task force would only be making recommendations to the commission, which each city would then have to agree upon or vote on. So I would like to ask the commission if they are interested in affirming the resolution to Broward County asking for the Water Resource Board to begin to look at governance models.
I'll support that.
I support that.
Okay, thank you very much. And finally, Mayor, I'm very glad this morning that you brought up the issue of the cone of silence, because it also reminded me that we are now, as everybody here knows and everybody out on staff knows, we are now operating under the new Broward County ethics regulations, which require that anybody coming to see us on the fourth floor log in. And I know this is a burden for our staff, it really is, and it's not an inconvenience for us as commission members, because I think if you carry this to the extremes that it could be carried, when we get a phone call from somebody, we got to log that in too. We haven't even discussed that yet, but this is going to be a work in progress for everybody. But this is what the voters approved, an ethics law, and it goes along with the cone of silence designed to protect the integrity of the governance model. So I hope everybody will understand that while it may be tedious for you if you're coming to speak to us, you will have to log in on a computer, that you didn't have to do that before. And that's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Blattner. Commissioner Russo?
Yes, and on that note, I think if you have a conversation with someone in the grocery store, you have to acknowledge that. We're really being put through the mill on what we can and cannot do. But now what I would like to say is we have an area that is, I think, part of Hollywood. It's District 5. It's from the turnpike to the western boundary. This January 14th, we're going to have an event out there under the beautiful oak trees at the Boulevard Heights Community Center amphitheater, and the performer is going to be Johnny DeRose, who is an Elvis impersonator. So bring your blankets, your picnic chairs, your picnic lunch, and come on out and enjoy it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anything else, Commissioner?
That's all.
Okay, Commissioner Sherwood, you're next.
Only to ask if we will be able to soon have more information on the regional water authority, that would, us becoming a regional water authority, that would, impact on this resolution also.
Just as a clarification, Commissioner Sherwood, we did make that presentation and we got very good feedback from you all, but we did not get the impression that that was something that was immediate on your agendas.
No, it's not that immediate. I'm just hoping that by finding out more information and feeding us that information as we go along, it will help us to make that decision when the time comes.
Understood.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Vice Mayor Asef.
Just two things. One, I back to the ethics, the new ethics code for Broward County. There is a meeting from the Florida League of Cities Regional Summit Series. Is calling Building a Culture of Ethics. It's going to be held on Friday, January the 27th, 2012, and the minimal registration fee of $30 will be charged. So I don't know, because I haven't heard anything, Jeff, about, but are we planning anything here at all?
Well, I'm looking into that particular one. Over time, we certainly will have some things that are city-centric, if you will, that are put on just for you. But certainly to the extent that, and I've made an inquiry regarding the number of hours of credit that will be available through attending this particular function, as 8 hours are required for
correct.
All incumbent elected officials. And then not in addition to those 8 hours, but any new elected official that has to have a 4-hour from their own city attorney, which I'll be preparing something so that we'll have that ready to go if it's necessary. Well, of course, it will be necessary because we know we'll have at least one new commissioner on the commission that counts towards the 8 hours. But we will absolutely have things that are available to you, but to the extent that there are things that are put on by either the regional planning council, or at least the
League of Cities,
or that might be able to cover most or even all of the 8 hours right out of the box, that will leave some breathing room for us to then put into place some things that might be more focused on the specific needs of Hollywood. So I've inquired both of the amount of credit that will be available from attending this seminar, and also that $30, if you had read it, it says would be refunded mm-hmm. upon attendance.
When you're there.
However, since the League of Cities, in fact, doesn't sell us insurance, but does sell insurance to many, and so is a potential vendor and still would be covered, we may have to say that in our case, we couldn't take back the $30. We'd have to pay it, and that would cover the value of the seminar, plus I think there's a lunch associated with that, but I'm checking into all that now.
Well, they're cheaper than us bringing someone here than we've had in the
right,
past.
Right,
so.
Well, no, that even at $30 a piece is an extremely cost-effective way if we're able to hit most or even all of the required 8 hours.
And Broward League of Cities decided this year that they would go ahead and give a course. I think Sam Gorin's going to be doing it, and not charging, but in lieu of the dues that we all pay, so that we could help out the cities to be, you know, really on board with all the new ethics rules are. So it's something I think it'll all be coming out, so we should keep our minds on it so we can somehow attend.
I'm monitoring all of those things.
Okay. And then the other thing is on January the 10th at 10 o'clock at Governmental Center, my Economic Development Committee will be meeting, and Anthony will be coming from our city, from Economic Development, and we will have four CRA directors within the 31 cities that will be representing it and talking about their economic development. So please, anybody that would like to come, it is 10 o'clock. You're all league members. It's going to be, should be a great, great meeting there. And they will, you know, bring forth what they have done in their area. So I think it's great exposure. And the other thing I did want to ask Greg today, you know, when we did our recycling and we, you know, went with recycled bin or whatever, and was there, when we decided to go into the program, how do we pay for the two pickups a month? You know, was that part of our bill that we already had, or was there an extra charge for that?
Commissioner, recycling was bid out separately from garbage collection.
How do we
collection.
Pay for it?
Pardon me?
How does the city pay for it? I mean, is that part of the fee that we were paying them before, or is there an extra fee?
No, there's two fees that we pay to Waste Pro. One is for garbage, and one is for recycling.
Okay, there are two. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I just was curious as how that worked. Okay, thank you. And that's it.
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor. Commissioner Furr?
Thanks. Yesterday was the deadline for proposals for redistricting for the city. What I've heard from residents is we have a site on our website that allows people to take a look and give proposals. Unfortunately, it is not particularly user-friendly. And the people that have looked at it are like, they're just shaking their heads, wondering, or saying they can't even give a proposal because they can't. It's not, before we had actually had a computer, you could kind of redraw the lines, you could do that. This is having took a look at a map, refer to this, refer to that, refer to this, figure out how many people are, and just do, go through all kind of stuff to figure it out. I was going to ask for an extension today to actually try to help people facilitate, go through that. I understand Pat Cerny has already given an extension to the 11th, so we have another week. On January 10th, I'm going to have a meeting in room 215 at 6 o'clock, and what I'm going to do is have all the maps there so people can take a look. They can look at it lot by lot, figure out how many people are in every square part. And I think at that point we could kind of people that want to figure are running can figure out, you know, what kind of proposals they want to do. This is a posted meeting, so all other commissioners can be there. This can affect District 1. It can any district connected to District 3, as well as District 3. So it can, because the fact is, District 2 can kind of get cut here and there. District 3 can pull from others. I think we need to take a good look at this. It just needs a little bit of tweaking. But I'll be honest, anybody who's looked at that on site, on the website, just has no idea of how to give a proposal. So I think the best thing is to have some maps there where people can look at it, try to have the numbers there so that at least by the next day they can kind of give some proposals. So again, that's January 10th, 6 o'clock, room 215, and hopefully we'll have all the stuff that anybody would need, because some of the lines are so close to where some people that are running live, it could make a difference. And lastly, I went to the legislative advocacy meeting for the Florida League of Cities last week, and Scott Dudley was there. He was talking about the resolution we looked at last time having to do with 175 and 185. I asked him, I said, why didn't you break that into two resolutions? And he said, you're right, I should have. And he's willing to do that. He says, you're absolutely right, because a lot of cities had concern with the health aspect of it, the part with the disability, and didn't have a problem with 175 and 185. He's going to rewrite that, submit it to all the other cities again. I suggest that we take a second look at this, because over the next 30 years, this could mean the difference of about $100 million to this city and to the pension funds. We need to take a second look at this. He needs to be able to go to legislators throughout this state and say, we need flexibility with those funds so that we can defray some of the costs of the unfunded liabilities, not just in Hollywood, but in cities throughout this state. So I'm going to ask him to, he's going to resubmit that. And hopefully at the next commission meeting, we'll be able to take another look at that. Okay. That's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'll speak and then I'll call on the city attorney and city manager. First off, the only real thing I want to do is just wish everyone a happy and healthy new year. I wanted to also acknowledge a lot of the work that's been done by our finance and accounting staff with respect to our reimbursements from FINA, and thank the city manager for her help with that. Just to let the commission know, right before Christmas, I flew up to Washington, D.C. for a short trip to meet with Debbie Wasserman Schultz at her office and then Senator Nelson at his office, and I went up there with Patrick Gill from the city, and I just wanted to give a shout out to him. I think he did a great job representing the city. He was super knowledgeable about all the history and the chronology of what's been going down with our issues trying to get reimbursement from FEMA. Senator Nelson told me, as well as the Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, that they're going to be working with our staff and to try and get FEMA to, I guess, fix their comedy of errors that's been going on for the last couple of years with respect to our reimbursement of FEMA. We're trying to get reimbursed from FEMA for about $4.6 million from Hurricane Wilma-related issues, and FEMA really needs to step up to the plate and recognize that they've been leading us down a certain path, and hopefully they'll come around. But I just wanted to let the staff know that our representatives are on board, and I do appreciate the help that you've been providing and leadership, Matt, and your staff on this issue. That's all I have, and again, I do appreciate all the work that Patrick did while we were up in D.C. City Attorney?
No announcements today. Thank you, Mayor.
City Manager?
The good thing about a short meeting, I get to make a few comments, and I'm excited about that. It was really important for you to be in Washington to meet with the top staff of FEMA, in addition to the elected officials.
Sure.
I think face-to-face with FEMA leadership, I think we're going to see some positive results, so we thank you for your time on that. You'll see a familiar face that's a new face to City Hall. We have hired Fred Hopkins as our part-time real estate director. It's a part-time position with full-time work, so we know that he's going to do a great job managing that. Fred, can you stand up? Give it.
Very nice to see you again, Fred.
One of the things you've talked about is using city real estate as a part of the strategy to pull up property values. He's going to be looking at city-owned properties. He's going to be looking at leases, both what city leases out and what city leases from others. We're going to get very serious about how we're managing that valuable asset, and he has hit the ground running, and we're excited about that. This week, we're also excited about your city manager finalist coming. Just wanted you to review the schedule with us. You have it on your calendars. 8:30 to 11:30 in the morning on Thursday. We're going to have a fabulous tour. We hit all of your districts. It's looking sparkling and good with the executive team. It allows the executive team to get to know the finalists, gets the finalists to get to know the geography, and we're excited about that. And then we're going to have a little bit of lunch with them, and then we're going to send them your way. You're going to have individual one-on-one interviews with each of the candidates. 1 to 4 on Thursday will be the majority of the commission, and then Commissioner Furr and Mayor Bober will be meeting in the morning on Friday. 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. at the Art and Culture Center. They've been wonderful at opening up that facility. We're going to have a meet and greet with the public and the finalists. Mayor Bober will introduce the candidates. We're going to have them each give a two-minute biography. It's kind of an icebreaker for the public to know who they want to talk to and what they want to talk about. And then on Friday at 2 p.m., you reconvene, so we're really investing a lot of your time, and we appreciate it, with a special City Commission meeting so that you as a group, it will be televised, will be interviewing each of the individual finalists, and then on to the selection process. So it's a pack full agenda. We're sorry it's not a little warmer for some of the candidates, but we think that Hollywood will look great in any event. I also just wanted you to book your full calendar for Friday the 13th. Some people view that as an unlucky day, but it's fiercely lucky for Hollywood. Two events, breakfast. The YMCA is having a very important fundraiser with J.R. Martinez. He's the Iraq war veteran, Dancing with the Stars. He's going to be the speaker, and then they're also going to be honoring Jason Taylor. And then Commissioner Blattner has opened up 5 seats to city employees. We've reached out to veterans, active, recent veterans, as well as a public service employee who's going to be deployed in February. And so thank you, Commissioner, for opening those seats. Not all of you will be able to attend because you'll also be hearing Mayor Bober's State of the City address at the Chamber of Commerce. And we're excited about that. Then you go to a ribbon cutting, 1 p.m. at Barry University, the old fire station at Fillmore and 21st. Steve Groh, the public services staff, has just done a fabulous job transforming, I think, a sow's ear into a silk purse. It looks good. It feels good. It's going to be great for the downtown. And then sad but happy. Greg Turek will have Greg Turek's retirement dinner is that night. So Greg will be, I fought it, but he's going to be retiring from the city. He has his retirement dinner on the 13th. He's going to hang around until the beginning of February, somewhat on vacation schedule. And we just so appreciate the 30-some years of dedicated service that he has provided that I think this is his last commission meeting with you. So, Greg, I want to embarrass you by standing you up.
I saw him blushing as he was getting up, and then when we got up, he really started blushing. That's perfect.
And Greg's professionalism, commitment to the field and the profession of public service and public works was one of the impetuses that caused us to put together the action today that separates out public services and public works as to two distinct important departments, and will begin an active recruitment both for the public services, the traditional water, the traditional public utilities, as well as a separate director for public works. So they're going to be out there, and then also the community and economic development director, which you also approved. We have job descriptions. We're going to go out. We've timed it so that your new manager will be making the final selections, but we wanted to get out and begin that recruitment. And once the community and economic development director is selected, we're going to go back out and advertise for a corridor redevelopment coordinator whose only job will be 441 Dixie Highway, and Federal Highway. That is with the departure, the unfortunate departure of both Victoria Johnson and Arlene Hampton. We've created one director position and one corridor position for the same amount of money. So we haven't caused new positions, we haven't caused new expenditures, but we're really excited about that direction. So there is a lot going on. We're going to see you on Thursday. Public is absolutely welcome to attend the 6 to 7:30 meet and greet, and they can either be present or tune in to the 2 p.m. January 6th special commission meeting. Anybody wants to log in as to who these candidates are, it's on our website, hollywoodfl.org. Go to City Manager Search, and they can see the pictures, the biographies, the dossiers there. That's it, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. I don't think there's any further business to come before us today. Correct, Pat? All right. So this meeting is adjourned.